Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How would you define greatness? And how would you describe what you would call a great person? If you look in the dictionary, you're going to find words like eminent, or above average, outstanding, most important. And to some extent, in the minds of some, greatness is measured financially. If someone is very rich, then it must follow that somehow that person is great, or at least above average. People can be very impressed by fast-talking, loud, powerful people who have a way of getting what they want when they want it. It's pretty much described by what James and John said to Jesus when they said, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." So in the drive to achieve greatness and power, it is not unusual to think that the Lord himself can be manipulated into granting whatever we ask, whenever we ask it. But let's take a deeper look at this gospel reading for today, which puts the question before us, who is the greatest? Is it the one who is always striving to get ahead, exerting power and influence over other people for personal advantage? Is that the great person? Well, James and John are typical of that common view of greatness. They're pretty bold at their request, coming right up to Jesus and demanding what they want, even after Jesus had predicted his suffering, death, and resurrection. We want it our way. We want our thing. We want success and honor. We want glory in following you. Well, maybe we can't fault them too much, because that was pretty much what many Jews of the day expected of their Messiah, the promised one of God, who would bring them to glory and dominance in the world. But for that matter, that's often what many people today are looking for in Jesus: power, influence, success, material advantage, happiness, whatever we ask of you. And if they get what they want, then they may say, "My prayers were answered." But if they don't get what they want, they might say, "My prayer was not answered," even though it perhaps was, but in a way that was quite different. Well, this is, after all, the usual way of looking at things in the world. It's all around us all the time: commercial messages, business decisions, cutthroat competition by fellow employees, politics, and sometimes, yes, even in religion. The fundamental questions are, am I better off? What's in it for me? How can this make me more comfortable? What is the profit motive? How does it put us first or ahead of others? Even some popular preachers of our day proclaim that if you would be really dedicated and really faithful and really committed, if you would just follow these principles that I will lay out for you, then you will conquer every problem, you will solve every dilemma, you will have answers to every question, and if you learn how to pull the right strings with God, you might even get rich and live in luxury. And then there's the matter of getting the best over other people, never admitting when you were wrong, always having to have the last word, winning every argument. Who's the greatest? Is it the one who's getting ahead of everyone else? Well, how does that work out? Well, when the other 10 overheard this, were they happy about it? Not at all. It says they were indignant. That's a mild word. They were outraged. And this is how that approach to greatness works out. Because if everybody is trying to beat out someone else, well, then the results are inevitable: conflict, bitterness, a win-lose attitude in which really everybody loses. So is that the way we answer the question, who is the greatest? not according to Jesus. He says that is the way of the Gentiles, that is, those who do not know God. If we use a more contemporary way of saying it, he's saying that's the way of most people. The people out there, the world, the masses. And it still is that way, and that does not only result in strained relationships in a personal way, it has also resulted in devastation and destruction on a worldwide scale. But, Jesus says, however, contrary to the usual viewpoint, it is not so among you. Jesus has a radically different way of answering the question, who is the greatest? He says, it is the servant of all, the slave of all. Notice how amazingly patient Jesus is with James and John, because he understands that changes in attitude sometimes have to come carefully and diligently and slowly. So he asks them a simple question, basically, which is saying, are you able to go through the same things that I'm going to go through? Are you able to be immersed in the suffering and death that I have ahead of me in the way of the cross? And they say glibly, oh yes, we are able. Oh, little did they know the cost involved. But they would find out. And the Spirit of God would give them what was needed to go through it. James would be the first apostle and the only apostle to be named in the New Testament who would die a martyr's death. And John would eventually be exiled to a lonely, barren island until his death. Sometimes it is just not easy to realize that the kingdom of God is in the world, but not of the world. So Jesus says, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Servant, slave. That does not sound very great. A servant administers and manages the things at the master's bidding, and a slave is a person who is owned by someone else. And so Paul says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were bought with the price of the blood of Christ shed for you on his cross. You belong to him. But if all are seeking to serve, conflict vanishes, outdoing one another in love. But if all are seeking to be lords, conflict will never be resolved. Now, we're not talking here about loathing yourself and pretending to say, would you please just kick me a little bit lower? No, it's not that. That too can be a form of pride, as if to say, well, look how humble I am, so much more humble than you. That's not it. Because after all, what is really at the foundation of always trying to push oneself forward and taking advantage of the other person and seeking greatness through power and profit and personal pleasure? What's at the root of that? It is insecurity. It is wanting to be regarded by someone for something, indeed, to be loved. Well, in Christ, you are. Without condition, without strings attached, graciously, fully, eternally. Paul says, all things are yours. Indeed, they are. And this means, therefore, that the mind, the attitude, the thought process of Jesus will be, by his Holy Spirit, transfigured into us, into you. And what is that? Jesus himself defines it. He says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Would you say that Jesus was and is great? Maybe even the greatest. Well, his greatness consisted in going the way of the cross for you. He says, for many as opposed to few, that is, the many, namely you and me and everyone. And he achieved his goal, for he offered his life, as he says here, as a ransom. That's an uncommon word in the New Testament, but a very powerful one. And it means to pay a price to free someone who is in bondage, to gain release from imprisonment. He paid the ransom to free us from false standards, false ideas as to how to get somewhere in life, to free us from sin and death for life and eternal hope. And he could do that because he is the Son of God who has become man. And only he could offer such a ransom with that divine and holy life in the place of our sinful lives. What are the real signs of greatness that no amount of money, power, or prestige could ever attain? They are such things as peace within, being secure in God's love, having purpose in life, having the promise of eternal life. Those things are not for sale. They are all gifts, and through Jesus, they are all yours. He has won us to himself for a new kind of life, a blessed kind of life, a life that gives and serves and loves as he has given and served and loved you. Greed, selfishness, deceit, pushing others down to lift yourself up, those things have no place among us. Rather, it is the love of Christ that controls us. That is what and who we are, and that is the greatest. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.